on Sunday morning, December 13th, time for a 2.5 hour stint and sprint with Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norris. We're going to be taking reports from the street, further analyzing the sleeping ban debate of last week. We'll get a report from the Saturday protest, which involved both Mumia Abu-Jamal's scheduled execution and the slow death of folks outside here in Santa Cruz through hypothermia and humiliation under the sleeping ban. We're going to be talking about the upcoming Crone Sugar Subcommittee, which is hopefully going to meet next week and begin discussion of these issues. We'll be going into, well, a kind of a long-lost tape we recorded several months ago after the Capitola Mid-County Times came out with a long article on Karen Gillette and what some activists had to say about Homeless Community Resource Center or Homeless Services Center Director Karen Gillette. We're going to be examining police brutality, considering the latest shooting, a timely topic in the upcoming Citizens Police Review Board meeting tomorrow at 5:30 down at City Hall. Join us. Recently?
Not recently, but about a year ago when the happy hippie was killed. My friend got ran out of town and I was told it would be a good idea if I left town.
You remember the name of the officer who told you that?
No, I don't. I have a bad time with names.
What were the circumstances under which you were told that?
My friend and I took the happy's gun away from him earlier that day. And we had his gun, his toy gun, the night he was shot. And he supposedly had the gun on him. And yes, he did not have his gun.
Where did you run into him?
I ran into him down here by the record store next to the movie house. And
you mean Blockbuster Video?
Blockbuster Video. And that's where he was upsetting some of the tourists that were in town. So at dinner time down here at the
Mission.
We got into a conversation with him and asked to see his toy gun.
Oh, that's nice, you know, and handed it to my friend.
What did it look like?
His is fluorescent orange and green.
Uh-huh.
And the toy gun that the officers had said he had was black. It looked like a 9mm, which is no way near what his looked like. And we took the gun away over at Elm Street Mission.
Did you have any witnesses to this?
Well, just the two of us.
Who was the other person with you?
Another homeless guy. His name was John. But anyway, the cops took him outside of town, told him if he knew what was good for him, could continue going because he came back.
When did I do this?
That was a week after Happy was killed. And he was scared. He left town. I wrote it all up if you want to read it.
Really? I would like to read it. Abe, this is Becky Johnson.
Hi,
Becky.
Hi.
Learn about the hippie planter.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, we'll call you Hi for short, Hi.
Okay, today I'm Hi.
You don't look too high, but Hi anyway, Hi.
I'm okay. Yeah.
So you say that you were greeted with a sleeping ticket recently?
I didn't get a ticket, but 7:15 in the morning, there's a flashlight shining through the back of my friend's RV. I happened to be the only one awake to notice. And when I opened the door, this man, this police officer, Mr. Kelly, said that there was complaints that we were sleeping on this street that had about 15 to 20 RVs parked at it and no houses.
Now let me see, this was within the city limits?
This was within the city limits, so obviously I was breaking the law.
And so the officer for some reason didn't give you a ticket?
He didn't give me a ticket, but he did, I don't know, he told us to leave, he told us to get on Highway 1 and go north or south.
And what did you do?
We got on the highway and left.
So in other words, he harassed you without ticketing you. Sergeant, we have a case of police harassment we need to report to you immediately. Seriously, you're not gonna take a complaint?
Serious.
Really?
I'm not going to take a complaint. I'm going somewhere right now.
Oh, can you come back when you're
sure,
finished?
I'll be back.
I appreciate it.
And these are interviews on the street from about a week ago. I believe it was actually the day after the city council meeting, which was December 8th, Wednesday the 9th. And I'm encouraging everyone to keep their eyes peeled for accounts of police misconduct. By the way, the sergeant who I hailed, Sergeant Vogel, never did come back, strangely enough. And indeed, we're still waiting for Sergeant Vogel's stats on panhandling and camping tickets, which he requested about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. It's always hopeful that he'll come through with those stats, but then again, there's beginning to be a question as to whether perhaps the computers are broken down or something in the chain of command seems to be blocking public access to those records. Perhaps the Crown Sugar Subcommittee can do better. That's the committee that's going to be meeting, hopefully next week. At least we had the word of Chris Crone that was going to be happening. He gave me three times, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, when he'd be available. And it looked like, given what other people wanted, that Tuesday would be good. Byers, our mayor, has said she's not interested in public meetings with us this week, as far as I know. Although she was accessible, she was about the only person really accessible in the last week. Although I guess Chris Crone I did have a conversation around the outcome of the sleeping ban debate, which really was, it was kind of an interesting, it was kind of historic, and that we actually spent some time, the public spent some time talking about the sleeping ban, and that was historic, although maybe not, because the public has been trying to get that kind of input to the council, and I guess the historic moment will not be when the council, when this public appears at the council giving it this testimony, but when the council actually starts responding to it in a significant way. Now, although it is true, I suppose, even insignificant and formalistic discussions or evasive discussions or discussions that quash the issue, as happened at the December 8th meeting, when Vice Mayor Keith Sugar's courageous proposal that there be no ticketing or stops, I should say no ticketing of under the sleeping or camping ban, or for sleeping or covering up with blankets unless there's a health and safety concern, and then presumably it would be under other sections than the sleeping or camping ban. He tried again and again to get that passed as an interim guideline for the police chief. He was essentially quashed by the city attorney, John Barasone, by the former shadow mayor, Mike Rotkin, who is now in the minority but still a very powerful city council figure, and by our own mayor, Mayor Catherine Byers, who has the four votes to do what Sugar wants to do. And Sugar, to his credit, pressed on to try to make this a law because they wouldn't allow it simply to be a policy, and they strangled him with more talk about emergency regulations and delays, and Catherine Byers couldn't be in town. And eventually, they kind of pushed him back to January 12th, which is the next meeting of the City Council, which means the entire winter, New Year's, Christmas season will remain open season on the homeless. Unless, of course, you believe that the kind of patchwork deal that Byers put forth in her point 5 at that session, which states that they'll be ticketing wherever reasonable and practicable upon complaint, or I beg your pardon, after warning, and that generally there shall be complaints, or it shall be they shall emphasize complaints, or other peculiar language. And of course, the proof is going to be in the pudding, and we're going to see if the police department abides by these regulations. And I guess cop watcher Becky Johnson yesterday got a report on a ticket, or it was either a ticket or a harassment instance that's happened after the December 8th council session. And that's what we're trying to compile for all of you folks out there who are listening and interested in the issue. Is the police department, the Parks and Rec department, and other jurisdictions, I guess this was up at UC that Becky got this report from, because unfortunately the camping ban and the sleeping sections of the camping ban, the sleeping ban and the blanket bans, can be used by other jurisdictions like UC police, like Parks and Rec, like California Highway Patrol, to go after innocent people, even if Chief Belcher's men are standing down, even if the Parks and Rec Rangers are kind of reining in their Park and Rec, W-R-E-C-K, expeditions. So the problem is going to be what really is going on this winter. And I hope you help us, listeners out there. Hope you keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is justice in this case, and fair treatment of poor people. And if you see or hear of any tickets or harassment of the homeless around sleeping or blankets, or anything else, actually, but those two are particularly a point of focus, so we can bring real data back to the City Council in January, and also hopefully raise a, forgive me for saying so, shit storm this vacation time, if the police are, in essence, lying, as they have been in the past on this issue. I use the word advisedly, lying. That's not misinforming us by accident or erring or something like that. No, lying, that is to say, one has to assume that they know better based on the fact that they have the information. And they're simply not, they're choosing to give other information. Well, lying or incompetent, perhaps that's the way to put it around this issue. This, the way that Belcher claimed that there were two or three blankets, and then Pat Ring in 1996 pulled out receipts for 9 blankets stolen by the police in the so-called search and seize missions, where they were going after people sleeping in front of City Hall in the spring of 1996. And they were kind of caught with their pants down there, and they quickly recalculated, but they never got the blankets back to the owners. And they claimed to have changed that policy. And in fact, I haven't heard of blankets being taken recently. Not entirely sure if that's true, at least not repeatedly. Let's at least say that. So here we are at Free Radio Santa Cruz. It's your show, and the call-in number is 427-3772 if you want to get in on the action before we start some of the taped interviews, which I'm going to do first to give myself a little breathing time to line up other parts of the show later. 427-3772. We're also going to be talking about the KSCO aftermath. The KSCO was gracious enough, or foolish enough, or who knows, desperate enough to put me on the air yesterday from 10 to 12 in the morning on the Michael Zwirling special. KSCO is the largest AM station in the area, and we talked about the sleeping ban for 2 hours and got a lot of really intelligent callers, some of whom often call this show, and some callers who were critical and hostile to the sleeping ban who didn't sound too articulate. They invited Mike Rotkin to appear, but he never did. Apparently he had some prior engagement. They invited Scott Kennedy as well. Tried to find other people, but it was only me and the kind of new talk show host, a libertarian named Robin, I think it was Robin Goldstein, not sure. And he kept kind of moving the issue back to more general grounds, but we did get a lot of interesting talk in there, and it's not new to those of you who've been listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. We've been talking about this law that criminalizes sleep for homeless people in Santa Cruz outside or in a vehicle for, well, the entire lifetime of our radio station. And I've been talking about it for much longer than that. But we did get out on a major AM station with the issue, which I think is very significant. And hopefully we got the City Council members to listen to the broadcast, because it was rebroadcast at 10 o'clock that night, yesterday, Saturday night. And I'm told by dead-on David Silva, who is the Committee for the Repeal of the Sleeping Ban Outreach Coordinator, and a man following the footsteps of Gandhi and others, has been talking in the past about, you know, going without food in order to show his feelings about a law which violates basic human rights. I think he's pulled back on that because he feels that the Human Rights Declaration by Chris Krohn, weakened by Catherine Byers, passed at the December 8th meeting, which says that sleeping is a basic human right and a basic human need, is enough to have him kind of believe the council is trying to move in the right direction, even though it's kind of peculiar to have a human rights declaration like that and then a law at the same time over the winter which makes it illegal for people to sleep or cover up with blankets, particularly at a time when there is no shelter for 80% of the people. Even though if you read the Morning Sentinel, you might think otherwise because you have reporter Daryl Cole repeatedly quoting people about there are beds at the armory and spaces left open and so forth. And it's too bad he takes that line. It is true, they usually have a floor space or two at the armory if you want to. In other words, they can cram people closer and closer together, so in theory they can keep cramming in more people, except of course for people with pets, people with alcohol and drug problems who are actively engaged in those behaviors, except for unaccompanied minors, except for couples who want to sleep together, except for people who are essentially paranoid about sleeping indoors, except for people concerned about illnesses, and except for those who have their vehicles and want to stay close to their stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of people. In fact, there's hundreds and hundreds of people who are outside and who couldn't be accommodated by the armory if they came in any one group. So there's obviously not the shelter that is required. And the city council, as I pointed out in the last show and yesterday on KSCO, has done not only nothing about it in terms of opening up another public building, let's say, as a shelter, or setting aside a campground for the winter for people to pitch tents so they don't have to be rained on outside, or park their vehicles legally so they don't have to worry about their vehicles being smashed. As one homeless person told me, his vehicle was smashed out in Aptos by vandals. If the people parked together, there'd be less chance of that, particularly in a monitored area. But oh no, the life, safety, security, and property of poor people is, of course, of less value than that of wealthier people in Santa Cruz. They just don't rate. And in fact, the only way that we are going to rate folks is if we get together and make it clear that the current situation, the current solution to the homeless problem is no solution and is not acceptable as a solution and damn well will not be accepted by any of us. I kind of promised a listener who may be listening in that I was going to go directly to an older tape, which kind of goes into some of the history of the homeless community, the Homeless Service Center, I think it's called. And it used to be called the Homeless Community Resource Center. It includes the free meal, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, Community House. It's the complex out at Rivers and Coral Streets. And I'm going to do that in a moment. I'm going to apologize for going on at sort of such introductory length. I tend to do that. But I like to do it, and it's my show, so there. And you can interrupt it, you know. If you want to call in, I'll have to talk to you, and I'd be happy to do that. That's at 427-3772. I've been getting lots of kudos and plaudits and congratulations and compliments on my performance yesterday on KSCO. And thank you for everyone who listened in and everyone who called into that show. I think you did a great service.